Okay, we're continuing in Nefesh HaChayim Sha'ar Dalid, moving on to Perek Dalid. But very briefly, let's just recap Perek Gimel and make some closing statements about it, because to a large extent, it's going to dovetail with what we'll discuss in Perek Dalid. Perek Gimel described, that was the most fundamental of the Perakim in Sha'ar Dalid. He described for us Nefesh HaChayim, what is Limud Torah Lishma? Limud Torah Lishma is Leshem HaTorah. It's not for the purpose of anything else, not for Devekut, although you will achieve Devekut through Limud Torah, but it's just Leshem HaTorah itself. That's it, nothing more and nothing less. Sounds simple, not so simple to achieve. And then at the end of the Perek, Nefesh HaChayim described that what I've been telling you about, what I've been writing about, is really the description, it's the embodiment of Ahaba. And he quoted that Gemara in Masechet Sukkah about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the paradigmatic Ohev because of the breadth of knowledge that he had. And so as a result, what we discussed last week was how Torah has this reality to it which transcends regular knowledge. It's a berit with Torah. We have this covenant with the Torah. As a result, the Chachamim describe and envision our relationship with the Torah as almost a sexual relationship, one of a spouses. We've noticed that the Mishnah at the beginning of the sixth perek of Masechet Avot talks about Kinyanei HaTorah. Kinyanei HaTorah means to acquire. You're acquiring Torah in what way or fashion? And what we suggested is just like a wife, a woman, fills a male, fills the man, so too does Torah. Kinyan is not a description of something financial or monetary. Kinyan is more than that. It's a reality. This is what fills me. But we said furthermore, we concluded the class that Ahava means to have a certain commitment to something. A berit means an absolute commitment to it. And it means it's reciprocal. We're committed to Torah. Torah, in turn, is committed to us. And lastly, but among other things we discussed in the context of this berit, is that ahava means knowledge of the other. A true relationship means having knowledge of the other. That's the way Harambam describes the passageway, the path toward ahava. He quoted in Sefer HaMisvot, if you recall, from the Midrash. The Midrash says, I don't know how to fulfill ve'ahavta, keshu omer, as the Pasuk says afterwards, ve'ayu ha'devarim ha'ele, asher anochim sarecha yom alevavecha. I understand if you want to have true, absolute love of God, you need to have knowledge of Him in order to lead you there. And then, and we didn't fully develop this, and that's what I'd like to begin with, we said, so what is ahava? So ahava, the way to get there is through knowledge. The way you fulfill it, the way you build the structure of this is through commitment, through a knowledge and understanding that you're connected to them and that that essence or that being is what completes you, what fills you, and so forth. All understood. What is ahava itself? How does it manifest itself at the end of that journey? So that's what I said. If you recall, that Harambam goes from Sefer Hamada into Sefer Ahava. I already made a point that that's your book. Into Sefer Ahava. And Sefer Ahava, which he begins introducing it to us at the end of Sefer Hamada, describes the mitzvot, which are constant. Ahava, he begins the book in source 5 over here in the sheet in front of you with a pasuk in Tehillim, ma'ahavti toratecha kol hayom hisihati. Torah needs to be kol hayom hisihati. It's be'ahavata tishke tamid. There's a constancy to ahava. True love means I'm constantly committed to it, I'm involved with it on a constant basis. And that is what Sefer Ahava is all about. Sefer Ahava is the mitzvot which we fulfill on a constant basis, the mitzvot of tefillah, of kiryat shema, of tefillin, of sisit, of mezuzah, and so forth. Harambam, as a matter of fact, in source 6 and 7, makes this point greater than all ever in Perek Yod of Hilchot Teshuvah, Halacha Yod Gimal. Again, as I mentioned to you, he begins the book in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. What's the derech? What's the way to Ahavat Hashem? Go out, understand, learn. Okay, that's the way to love someone or to get to love. What is love itself? As I quoted to you from my rabbi, Rabbi Meir Twersky, he says, the entirety of Sefer Hamada leaves that lingering because we're supposed to spend our lives on that journey. It's Abraham Avinu who arrives, who achieves absolute ahava. It's we who endeavor upon that path. But what is it? How would you achieve it if you're that Abraham Avinu? In source 6, at the end of Hilchot Teshuvah, Kesad hiya ahava hare'uya. So he splintered his book. He began with the derech, and then he tells you about all this knowledge stuff. And then at the end of the book, he says, so how do you get there? What is it? Not how do you get there. What is it? Hu shi ye'ehav et Hashem ahava gedola yetera azza me'od. And those are a strong wording for an absolute intensity and passion and lust of love. Ad shetehe nafsho kishura be'ahavat Hashem. And the words I bolded, of course, are v'nimsa shogeh ba'tamid. It's a constant thought and envelopment and involvement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Ahava is. Harambam repeats this point in several places. On the source sheet last week, I don't think we read it for in Moreh Nevuchim. But here in Sefer Ahava, in Perek Vav Vilchot Mezuzah, Halacha Yod Gimel, Mezuzah is a great example for this, right? Mezuzah is a constant mitzvah. It's on your home at all times. Of course, Milah would be a good example, and Milah is a berit, something that's going to be constant in a very real sense. But anyway, says Harambam over there, Hayav Adam Lihizahir b'mezuzah, p'nei shehi chovat hakol tamid. It's a constant chova, constant obligation. Continues Harambam, says, what are you supposed to think about? What's it supposed to bring you to? V'kol zeman sheikanes v'yese yifka b'yachud Hashem shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yizkor Ahavato, your ahava is a constant understanding, involvement. It's done through actions, it's done through thought, it's done through speech. I mean, that's what ahava is. Just to depict this a bit further before we even begin Perek Dalet, in source 2, 3, and 4, really 2 is what begins it, and then we'll just develop it a bit further. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin and Dafsaditet Amud Bet. Okay, back to talking about women as Torah, right? As I said, a relationship with the wife, as the Gemara, as the Chachamim tell us in many places, needs to be envisioned as the greatest relationship, of course, and not to the exclusion of, but right up there with your relationship with Torah, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an absolute relationship. Says the Pasuk in Mishle, V'no'ef isha hasar lev. A person who commits adultery with a woman is hasar lev. Hasar lev, missing some part of his heart. Heart, of course, is our vision of where love comes from. And what's that? Amaresh Lakish Zehalomed Torah Lifrakim. So I maybe would have said, you commit adultery, you're not fully committed to the woman. That much I understand. No, it's Halomed Torah Lifrakim. Lifrakim Perek means a segment. If you're segmented in your Talmud Torah, you're like committing adultery with it. How so? What do you mean? I got Torah here and I got Torah there. There's no commitment. There's no ahaba, says Maharal in his Netivot Olam Perek Dalet. He says, if a person's involved with a harlot, with a prostitute, with a zona, you don't say that person has a partial wife. There's no such thing as a partial wife. It's either you have a wife or you don't have a wife. No, but I'm involved with her. I happen to like her and I spend time with her and I'm intimate with her. That's not a wife. That's not a relationship. That's not a totality, all-encompassing relationship. And as a result, that's haser lev.
Is that yes. About itself the mitzvah or the end? Or is it a conduit to getting towards Torah, in a better way?
No, quite the opposite.
Even though
the Ahava itself is a mitzvah. The Ahavta is a mitzvah. The conduit to Ahava is Talmud Torah. But the point, I hear what you're saying. The point over here is, and this is what Nefesh HaHaim is trying to develop for us, is when we envision Ahava, you can think the end goal as connection to God. But in the short term, think of it as a relationship with Torah itself. I mean, Torah is the embodiment of God's word. It's where we find Him. So the Ahava we're describing here is with Torah. Do you know what I'm saying? And we refer to Torah in the Gemara all the time as Rahmana. Rahmana midat rahamim, of course, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're envisioning it as one and the same. Hard to distinguish between the two is what I'm saying. Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the former mashgiach of what's it called, of Yeshivat Mir, in Mir, actually, he develops this and discusses this a bit further. Ulfi Mashabiyan in Source 4 in his book Da'at Chokhmah Musar, Shesoda Torah Hu Ahava, right? True Torah study is Ahava. Zot omeret hibur ben haboreit barach v'ha'adam. It's a connection, source 4, Joey. It's a connection between God and ourselves. Matimim leze me'od dine Talmud Torah v'hagita bo yomam v'alayla. It's constant, it's at all times. Deham mafsik milimudo mafsik et hibur. A person who stops, who pauses his study, his connection, well, you stopped, you paused the connectedness. That's not even considered Torah. The same way the wife is not, the woman is not considered a wife if it's not constant. So to over here, he compares it to a magnet. He says, if you separate a magnet, it says, "V'hu begedek kemoshe nomar al koach magneti." There's no such thing as a magnet not having a magnetic pull. And so too, if you're truly involved with Torah, it's an absolute, it's a constancy. If it's not a constancy, then it's no if, then it's adultery. Okay, we'll continue in Nefesh HaHayim in just a second, but how do we explain this to ourselves, people who are living, quote, in the real world? It's an easy message, easier message for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a message which is more palpable and acceptable for a person who's studying in yeshiva, learning in kolel. How do we accept this? We all want to study Torah. We all want to ahavat Torah. If you're telling me it needs to be constant, how can I make this constant? And the answer has to be along the lines of what we discussed in Se'udah Shlishit several weeks ago, and that is differentiating. We quoted it from Rabbi Soloveitchik based on Tosafot and Masechet Berachot, between what you call, what he called an acute awareness and a latent awareness, or what we might call consciousness and a subconsciousness, which means to say, as I play with my child, as I tend to my child at home, there's an acute awareness of their presence in my life. There's no question. They're right there. I can touch them. I can speak with them. I can laugh with them, I can cry with them, and so forth. When I leave and go to work, they might not be at the front of my mind in that moment as I'm involved with whatever I'm involved with, but there's always a latent awareness. You can't sever that connection because it's part and parcel of who I am. Part of me is my relationship with my children, my relationship with my spouse. It's the same thing with Torah in that respect. Torah needs to be something which underwrites all that you're involved with. If I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, I once saw that Rabbi Meir Shapiro, who's the father of Daf Yomi, at the first Siyum HaShas for Daf Yomi, I think if I remember correctly, I once saw this, he was asking on those words that many people say at a Siyum. At a Siyum, it's a citation actually from the Gemara, there's a statement, Anu amelim v'hem amelim. Anu amelim v'mekabelim sachar v'hem amelim v'enam mekabelim sachar. It's comparing people who are involved with Torah to people who are involved with regular labor. We're amelim in Torah, we get sachar. They're amelim and with other matters and they don't get sachar. What a simple statement. I don't stand. That's a novelty. We're involved, we toil in Torah, we get sachar. They're involved, they toil in business, they don't get sachar. What type of statement is that? Of course, I mean, there's no comparison. You're trying to say a chidush over here about the study of Torah. Say, Torah gives you sachar. I mean, obviously, a person who's not involved in Torah doesn't have the merits of Torah. So if I remember correctly, he suggested the following. He said that when it comes to amelut, in that context, perhaps, it's referring to the same amelut. It's an amelut in the business place. It's a description. It was very appropriate for a person who started Daf Yomi, speaking to, hopefully, lay people who are going to do this in the right fashion. He says, it's talking about the same amelut, but one's the amelut of a person who began with Torah, the person who sandwiched his day, who structured his day, whose vision of his day is a constant awareness and involvement with Torah. So it's the same work. It looks qualitatively as the same as his work or that person's work. However, the work is altogether different. What do you mean it's altogether different? It's a work which has that latent awareness of Torah. It means Torah is, in some way or fashion, coursing through the involvement in the business, in the workplace, and so forth. So that, in my mind, is how you have to envision this statement of ahava. It's the same thing with the awareness and a relationship with our spouses, is it not? Leave the child aside for a moment. With our spouses, we're not. Most of us don't work on a constant basis with our spouse in the room. Maybe during COVID, but that was unhealthy for most people. But generally speaking, not in the same room as your spouse the entire day, and yet you've kept a connection to them if you've done it in the right fashion. That's true ahava. Even when you're separated, there's that magnetic pull back to them. Okay, well, that being the case, what Nefesh HaHayim is going to do for us in this perek is a bit ironic. It's a bit unexpected because he's going to, over the course of the next several perakim, pull us back. So he's been pushing us forward in this connection, in this berit, this ahava of Torah, and now he'll pull us back. And he's going to talk about what's the contrast to ahava? Yirah, the awe, the fear. Says Nefesh HaHayim, feel open here, Tasha'ar Dalit, Perek Dalit. Let's read some of Perek Dalit. You got it, Joey? You got it in there? Here we go. Omnam, vaday di'i efshar lomar she'en sarich le'inyan esek ha-Torah, shum tohar machshava v'yirat Hashem halila. He says, I've been telling you until now in Perek Yimal that what it means to be involved with Torah Lishma, leave all the fanfare, all the trappings of the right minds. Leave that all aside. What are you doing when you approach Torah? You're learning Lashem Torah. It's, wow, that sounds very intellectual. It sounds very cold. And so I have a friend who told me that I should never use the word intellectual in a speech. He said, that's a curse word amongst the simple people. He says, use the word intellectual, they turn you into an intellectual. It's the last thing you want. You want to be able to connect to them. Anyway, but that's what it sounds like. If you're talking about Lashem HaTorah, what do you mean Lashem HaTorah? Where's the connection? Where's the depth? Where's the, I don't know, the true feeling of this? Says Nefesh HaChaim, I'm not going to tell you that far. I'm going to tell you that it's no question you need to start with Yirat Hashem. You need to start with Torah Machshava. I'm not telling you that's your objective, but I am now going to pull it back a little bit and say you need to begin with the appropriate mindset of Yirat Hashem. Share Mishnah Shelei Mashaninu. After all, it's an explicit Mishnah in Perek Gimel of Perkei Avot, Mishnah Yod Zayin. Im en Yirah en Chokhmah. If there's no fear, if there's no awe, then there's no Chokhmah. Keep in mind that we quoted this Mishnah for the next words. The next words in the Mishnah are Im en Chokhmah en Yirah. If you remember in the second class, we talked about how Chokhmah oftentimes births appropriate Yirah. That was the question between the Ba'alei Musar and others at the start of the Musar movement. But the words right before that are Im en Yirah en Chokhmah. If you don't have the appropriate fear, well, then you can't have true Chokhmah. Ve'amru. Oh, we missed you. I called you the anchor to the class. Ve'amru, mai dichtiv, lama ze mechir biyad kesil liknot chokhmah velev ayin. The pasuk in Mishle says, why is it that a kesil, a silly person, has money, so to speak, has the ability to purchase or to acquire chokhmah, but doesn't have lev, but is missing that dimension of lev, of heart, of mind, of yirah. In other words, the statement of Shlomo and Mishle over here is, you're a kesil, you're a foolish person if you think you're going to achieve, you're going to acquire chokhmah without lev. Oy lahem, says the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, letalmidei hachamim she'oskim betorah ve'in bahem yirat shamayim. Oy lahem, how terrible for people who study Torah but don't have yirat shamayim. U'beshemot rabba, perek mem, kol mishu yodea ve'en beyado yirat chet. And biyado kelum, you think you're yodea? In truth, you have knowledge. And biyado kelum. What do you mean? I don't have kelum. You have intellectual knowledge. You don't have Torah knowledge. You don't have again berit. You don't have ahava. You don't have true connection. Shekifliot shel Torah biyirat chet. The ability to achieve Torah, the understanding of Torah, is that it's coupled together with Yirat Chet. Again, he's scaling us back. He's turning us back. He's been pushing us forward. Just go, run into the Torah. Now he pulls us back and he says, but start with the appropriate Yirah, which of course will be an important tug back and forth that we'll have to discuss. If it's all about the Ahava, then why you pull me back with Yirah? You know, it's somewhat reminiscent of emotional intelligence, right? Emotional IQ. In other words, you want to have an IQ. Well, there needs to be an emotional side to it as well. How do you enter into this? It can't just be for the knowledge. The knowledge will be static. The knowledge will be something that doesn't speak to you. The knowledge will be something that's missing appropriate context. Says Nefesh HaChaim, so you start with Yirat Hashem. Ubehakdamat HaZohar, Yonalef Bet, Amar Bishimon Ben Yochai, Shehayirah, Ihi Tara. Tara, I think, means path. It's the pathway. Le'a'ala le'go mehemnuta. If you want mehemnuta, we'll define that word in a second. Well, then you need Yirah. Mehemnuta sounds like the word emunah. It is from the Shorash of emunah. If I'm not mistaken, in Zohar, it's used to denote Torah. So in other words, the statement is here is, Yirah is the pathway to Torah, ve'al pikuda da itkayem kol alma, and it's with this mandate the entire world is upheld. Which mandate? Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Hashem. Veda ikara v'yesoda lechol she'ar pikudin de'oraita. This is the ikar, the yesod. This is the foundation for all the fulfillment of mitzvot. Again, it's the beginning. Yes, Ricky.
So is he saying that we don't get Yirat Hashem through the study of Torah, only
Ahavat Hashem? Correct. So it goes like this. My father's excited that you're here, Ricky. He's radiating. He's radiating Kedushat Haaretz. He's arguing that it begins with Yirah. Yirah sets the mindset. He'll describe this for us in greater, you know, detail as we go along. And then the rush toward the Torah will be the ahava. Certainly, ahava will be the rush forward. But before you rush forward, you need to jolt backward. Of course, there'll be the constant back and forth. But for our purposes right now, it's that, I mean, we can envision this. I'll depict it in the sources in a moment or two, but I mean, I'm always embarrassed about this, but I guess in this context, I shouldn't be embarrassed. It's very appropriate. If you saw me at my wedding, you wouldn't recognize me. I was nervous beyond words. I was trembling the whole night. But for what reason? Isn't that the moment of love? And I always caution Hatanim not to do that. Don't play the my card. Let the girl cry. You just relax a little bit. It's a great experience you can have. Okay, I mean, Yirah is appropriate, not to the extent I had it, but what is in that situation? It's I'm aware of the importance, the severity of the seriousness of this moment. It's not because I don't have an ahava to rush forward, but I'm aware of what I'm getting into. That's how I envision this yira as well. And if you're missing that yira, well, then what is the ahava? The ahava can become a lustful ahava. It's not a true birit ahava.
I like to use the word awe.
Awe is good for me. Fear, awe, trepidation, all appropriate, apprehension, all good for me. I mean, because you're assuming that we associate the word fear with punishment. I'm not sure we always associate the word fear with punishment. The fact that the rabbis say yirata onesh and yirata romemut means that the word yira could be used for both. That's why I'm only correcting you on that. But indeed, I go back and forth. Vida, ikarav yesoda l'chol she'ar pikudin de'oraita, uman. De natir yira, natir in Aramaic means to lishmor, means to safeguard. A person who safeguards yira, natir kula, you're safeguarding all. Again, it's not the way to achieve ahava, yidi'ah, and so forth. It's the way to set yourself up for it. He'll describe it in the next perek as the storehouse. It's the way that I prepared myself for this relationship, which makes it la natir yira.
Okay.
Yira comes first. Yirah comes first. It's true. Harambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah describes Ahava first, but that's again in a relationship with. Yeah, but it's not. I assumed you were. In a relationship with our spouse as well, envision it in the following fashion. You meet them and there's an outpouring of Ahava. Then there's a jolting backward. You know what I'm saying? So you're not in the berit, you're not in the hibur yet, but there's love at first sight, or there's love in getting to know the person. Then I'm jolted backward, and then I'm going forward again. It's a constant back and forth, but yes, yirah, if you're...
Kids, we do the opposite, though. Don't be a little bit, but don't first be fear them. Like, just the way you're saying, it sounds like first you have to have an ahava for what you're getting into, and then you have to fear to start to get into it, and then
right.
You have to pull back.
Right.
But when we raise our kids, don't we... I mean, it's a scare tactics a lot at the onset, like, don't do this because you're going to get punished. But don't, like, that's
the mode of how you... I hear what you're saying. No, what?
Do kids understand love also?
Well, you know, it's a great question. I don't know. I think it depends on parenting approaches. Does it always work in such a fashion?
No.
I don't know. Maybe, so maybe we should be doing it differently. Maybe it's about showing the love to the child first. They want an interest in it. I mean, you know, let's talk about it in the religious domain for just a second. How, and I have no answers to this, trust me. Even though my boys come to this knees, they barely open a book. And, you know, I hope they listen to this in years from now and laugh at this. But what I'm saying, I don't have, that's right. I don't have the secret to this. But what I can tell you is certainly the way I was raised is this is something intuitive. This is something we do. It's innate. We're hoping that the love comes from it. There's no punishment if you're not there. There's a clear guideline in the household that this is what we're doing, but there's no punishment if you're not there. That's certainly, I'm just talking in that realm. Maybe
I'm just thinking when I look, sometimes I'm not, you know, Hashem, like for me, all right, you know, you gotta go to shul. How come I gotta go to shul? You're going to shul there, all right? And then, I don't know, you want to do the right thing.
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
Type of approach as opposed to, it's an all-in type thing. This is right. The greatest thing ever.
I hear you. Yeah, okay. I call it had and call me kre lefi mashu, I guess. Man de natir yira, natir kula, la natir yira, la natir pikude oraita. You can't appropriately and sufficiently fulfill misvot HaTorah, says Zohar, without yira. Ubi parashat behar, he goes, furthermore in Zohar, may ol malchut shamayim. What does it mean to be mekabel ol malchut shemayim? Keep in mind as well, he'll quote in Perikei, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll say it already now. Keep in mind how we mention Ahavat Hashem every day. We start Ahavat Hashem with Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael's kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. That is Yirah. Or how about that, Joey? And only then do we rush forward with Ahavat. Again, you had to have a knowledge of Ahavat to begin with. But fundamentally, I'm introducing my ahava on a daily basis with yirah, my ol malchut shamayim, like a haya Torah, Torah with an aleph, like a ox. The ox is first the first girdle, whatever. You put the yoke on the ox, and only then does it rush forward. Hachin ameh, so too in Torah. In Ahavat Hashem, istarich le lebarnash. Barnash means a human being. A human being needs to lekabala ale ol bekadmita. First comes the ol. First comes yirah, the understanding of what you're dealing. Ul batar, and afterwards diiflach le bechol ma'idi istarich. And afterwards you worship God in all the ways that are necessary. Ve'ilokabil ale hay bekadmita. And if you don't take the ol, the yirah first, you won't be able to appropriately worship. Hadaud ichtiv ivdu et Adonai beyirah. Avodat Hashem begins with yirah. Mahu beyirah kedi ita kehade amrinan. It's as the pasuk says, reshit chokma yirat Adonai. Chokma begins with yirat Hashem. Chokma is what we described as ahava. Ahava begins with yirat Hashem. The pathway to love is through knowledge. Before that is reshit chokma yirat Hashem. Ve'alda hay bekadmita hu dekalat. The beginning, which is wherein all lies begin. Debehay ayin l'shaar kedusha. It's from this that you can then enter into other matters of sanctity, of holiness. Ve'ihay la'ishtakach le'gabe. And if you don't start with the yira'ah, so then it's a lustful relationship, or it's a static and dry relationship. Lasharia be kedusha dele'ila, you'll never have kedusha dele'ila. In Zohar, there's always a distinction between tata and ila. Ila means upper, tata means lower, like upper and lower waters, Ricky, right? In other words, the vision is understanding the world and everything we do on two different planes. If you want kedusha dele'ila, maybe you'll have kedusha dele'tata. Maybe you'll get the static, this world kedusha. You want true kedusha? Needs to start with yirah ve'amru od. And Mishnah Navot says further, kol sheyirat cheto kodemet lechokmato, chokmato mitkayemet. Again, the description is kiyum. You want to have a lasting bond. It's not that you're not going to have moments of true bond. It's not that you're not going to understand. It's not that you're not going to actually be involved with that woman. But you want true, lasting relationship. It needs to start with yirah. Kiyirat Hashem hi techila, hi ikah. Okay, we'll continue with this. Let's for a moment take a step back from Perek Dalet and envision the giving of the Torah and understand how the Torah was given. Again, we mentioned Torah in last week's class as that Zeman of Erusin, Al Tikre Morasha, Ela Meorasa. Matan Torah was this time of engagement. Did we have Yirah at the time of Ma'amad Har Sinai? So the answer is absolutely. Yeah. The interesting thing is that before the Torah was given, God keeps saying in Perek Yotet of Shemot to Moshe, please, safeguard the mountain. I'm nervous people, or there should be a fear that people are going to rush on. And then the Torah is Ma'amad Har Sinai, the event begins, and everybody jolts backward. It's a moment, the kolod, lapidim, everything is trembling. That's the description more than anything. It's not about understanding. Think about Ma'amad Har Sinai. We sometimes imagine it as a time of comprehension, of cognitive connectedness. So far from that, it was moments or a time of fear, trepidation, awe, reverence, all that sort of stuff. Take a look at the Pesukim, source number 9. Vahi bayom ha-shilishi biyot bokir, vahi kolot, there they are, Jared. Ubrakim, va'anan kaved alahar, v'kol shofar hazak meod, v'yeherat kol ha'ama shebamahane. What's with all the trumpets and all the sounds? Just have God speak to us. Let us prophesy. Why so? V'yeherat, and there's a trembling. It's almost as if, not almost as if, it was purpose to bring forth Yirah. I'll prove it in a few seconds. And then the pasuk yod chet says, v'har sirai ashan kulom pnei asher yarad alav Adonai ba'esh v'ya'al ashan okeshen ha'kifshan. There's smoke which is ascending. V'yeherad kol ahar me'od. We're not only trembling, the very mountain is trembling. This is a moment of trembling, of fear. מחילתה, that's מדרש הלכן ספר שמות, ויחירה את כל העם אשר במחנה, מלמד שנזדעזעו. להזדעזע means to tremble. That's it. The description of the rabbis is, what's Am Yisrael doing? They're not pushing forward, they're jolting backward. ויוסה משה את העם לקראת האלוהים מן המחנה. I love this מדרש. אמר בי יוסה, יהודה היה דורש, ויומר אדוני, ויומר, excuse me, אדוני מסיני בא, פסוק כנמוד, וזאת הברכה. אל תקרא כן, אלא אדוני לסיני בא, ליתן תורה לישראל, או אינו אומר כן, אלא אדוני מסיני בא, לקבל את ישראל, כחתן זה שהוא יוסה לקראת קלה. So the derasha of the midrash, again, we went from the nation's response. What's the nation's response? Nizda'azil, we're jolted backward. Then the midrash takes a break and says, go look at the pasuk in parashat v'zota beracha. It says, Adonai, misinai ba. God came from Sinai. He didn't come from Sinai, he came to Sinai, one interpretation in the midrash. But it's not what it says. It says, Adonai, misinai. God came from Sinai. Says the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol came from Sinai the same way at Sephardic Syrian weddings. The Hatan comes off of the Chuppah to greet the Kala and brings her up. That's what's taking place over here. What's the Kala in turn doing? What's the Am Yisrael doing? They're jolting backward. But that's the relationship. He's coming forward to us and we're jolting backward. Ultimately speaking, we're going to go up to the chuppah. I had rabbis in yeshiva who were very opposed to this minhag. They said, it's a non-Jewish minhag and whatever. Make sure you don't do it at your wedding. I said, but it's our custom. Had I known this midrash, I mean, it's in the midrash. That's what it says. I think that's what the midrash is saying. But the imagery for me is so strong. It's ahava from his end. And to us, and an immediate and visceral yirah from us. Vayityasevu nisbefu, or nisfefu. The pasuk says vayityasevu, as the midrash says, we were very crowded. Melamed shayu Yisrael mityarein, we were fearing, we pushed together. Why would you push together? Mipene hazikin, pene hazvaot, pene hareamim, pene haberakim, it should say habbaim. We feared all the noises, the natural realities which were taking place. There were earthquakes, there were tornadoes. Everything's taking place around us. We crowded together in this moment. It was a moment not of understanding, not even of awareness, but of awe, fear, trepidation. It's even clearer in Parashat Vayetchanan, Devarim Perekeh. Take a look at the Pesukim over here. Am Yisrael turns to Moshe after something. According to the Chachamim, after the first two Deberot, according to Peshat and Pesukim, not fully clear when we turn to Moshe, but we turn to Moshe and we say to him in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ve'ata, Lama Namut Ki Tochilenu Hayesh HaGedola Hazot, Im Yosefim Anachnu Lishmot Kol Adonai Eloheinu Od Vamahatnu. We're going to die if we keep hearing God's voice. Are you kidding me? You've been waiting for this moment. You're finally hearing the call, the sound of God, and now you want to turn away? What are we fearing? What are we feeling, rather? Awe, fear, trepidation, reverence. And Moshe, it appears, is not very happy. He's not very pleased with this. Turns to God, and Pasuk Chafdalid, Vayishma Adonai Kol Divrechem Daberchem Elai. God heard, believe it or not. He heard your conversation with me. Vayomer Adonai Elai, Shema'ati et Kol Divrei Ha'am Hazeh Sheh Elecha. Hetibu Kol Asher Diberu. I love that line. Right. God comes, he puts the stamp of approval on us. They were right. Well, you have to imagine, this is my imagination, because it's not explicit. Moshe says, they're right? What are you talking about? You're talking to them, and they're closing the door on you, and they want me to speak to them. They're right? Meeting. V'haya levavam ze lahem liyira oti v'lishmur kol mitzvotai kol yamim l'ma'an yitav lahem v'livnehem le'olam. If only this yira, this moment of awe, of reverence they'll have forever. That was the whole point of this. It means Ma'amad Har Sinai was less about understanding. The beginning of Torah, the beginning of the Hibur of a Berit, the Chuppah, the relationship begins with an awe, with a reverence, with the jolting backward, and that's what God says, they got it. This was the point. Who cares if they don't understand? Okay, so you'll explain it to them. That's all right. The Ikar over here is they have Yirah. They're connected to me through that Yirah. Ironically, through jolting backward, they'll now be able to come forward. Now, you'll tell me that's just Ma'amad Har Sinai. The rabbis caution us in so many places to say Ma'amad Har Sinai is the paradigm, is the model of our study of Torah at all times. It makes a lot of sense. It's the model of Hibur, of Berit, of Ahava, is it not? The Gemara Masech Berachon Daf Kafbet Amud Aleph is Doresh the Pesukim Parashat Vayet Hanan. Parashat Vayet Hanan, the Pesukim have two statements juxtaposed one to the other. One Pasuk says, It talks about at the end, Yom Asher Amadta Lifnei Adonai Lo'echa B'Horev. It talks about the day on which you stood at Har Sinai. And then the next pasuk says, V'hoda'atam Levanecha V'Livnei Banecha. Excuse me, the opposite way. V'hoda'atam Levanecha V'Livnei Banecha. You'll instruct, you'll inform your children. Next pasuk says, Yom Asher Amadta Lifnei Adonai Lo'echa B'Horev. The day on which you stood at Horev. Says Ramban Nahmani, this is mitzvah to say from the Torah, to remember, to recall, and to tell our children about Ma'amad Har Sinai. It's, some people say it in the tefillah, some sidurim have it on different mitzvot that are constant that we try to remember. One of them is Ma'amad Har Sinai, says the Gemara. That's not what we learned from that. Maybe that's true as well. I'll tell you what we learned from that. We learned that every time you instruct your children, every time you learn Torah, it needs to be in the same fashion, same context, same trappings of Ma'amad Har Sinai. How so? Malehalan, the end of the first line over here. Be'ema, be'ira, beretet ubeze'a. The same way the Torah was given with fear, with trepidation, with awe, with reverence, with all those words that describe a moment of recoiling, of jolting backward, so too, afkan, so too, every time you study Torah, every time you learn, every time you teach, be'ema, b'yira, b'retu, b'ze'ah, and there were once halachot which were connected to it as a result. In source number 13, Avot Rabbi Natan, the very beginning of the book, Avot Rabbi Natan, which of course is like a commentary of sorts, it's like the Beraita to Pirkei Avot, it describes Moshe. Moshe, the Pesukim describe, has dibur from God at Sinai after the sixth day, says the Midrash. Why so? What was he doing for those first 6 days? He was purifying himself with the anan. He was somehow bringing himself to purity. Why did he need the purity? Says the Midrash, says Avot Rabbi Natan, three lines down at the end, Kedesh she'yekabel alav divrei Torah be'ema. It wasn't only for us, but the connection to Moshe. He needed time to prepare for this. He needed the Yirat Hashem. Harambam in Peregimal Vilchot Hagigah, Halachahe through Halachavav, describes the mitzvah of Hakel. Every 7 years we would gather in Yerushalayim and the king would read to us from the Torah. Now, what was that experience like? I've built this up on several occasions because I love the vision of it. I say that I speak in certain synagogues and I'm just, 250 people in the room and they can't hear me, right? No names of synagogues, not ours here. But anyway, but can you imagine? Here's Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the king speaking to the entirety of Am Yisrael. And the halacha is, the Gemara says, Masechet Chagigah, Rambam says, children, women, everyone's there. No microphone once upon a time, no system. How is anyone hearing anything? The answer is, of course, they're not. So what was the point of the occasion? Says Harambam further, it needed to be done in Hebrew. Kelashon HaKatub. People didn't understand Hebrew. No translations. Speak to them in Hebrew. For what reason? Says Harambam, I'll tell you why. Hayavin, second line over here. Lachin libam lakshiv oznam lishmoa. We know these words already. Be'ema, v'yira, v'gila, v're'adak yom shenitina bo besinai. This was every seven year moment during which we tapped back into one word, yira. We packed hat back into Har Sinai, which was a moment, which was a time of Yira. Most people imagine it as a time of knowledge, as a time of revelation. It was a time of Yira above and beyond. Yes.
Do you think that's why we ran so far from Har Sinai after it was done?
Absolutely. We run. And God says, tell them, go back, le'aholechem. We don't know how to handle it, but that's the right response.
But even when they said they traveled a three-day journey in one day,
we were freaking out. According to the Midrash, we're wrongfully so, right? That was wrong. A pur'anut, it's an intensity which was felt and was supposed to be felt. Was supposed to be felt.
I hear you.
I mean, listen, I'll tell you the closest we come to it. If you've ever... I'll tell you the second one, where I felt in a different way. I've mentioned this more than once. But this one I don't think I've ever mentioned. It's on Shavuot in Israel. If you've ever been in Yerushalayim on Shavuot, you go to the Kotel for Shachrit. It is absolutely mobbed. Not your year, I'm sorry, it was COVID. But in a normal year, it's absolutely mobbed. And I was a yeshiva boy studying all night and actually serious about my study. I didn't need the experience and I would be a part of that. I stopped it after a couple of years. Right. It was a disaster. Minyan over there. I need my seat in Knis in general. Forget about praying at the Kotel on a regular day over there. But I'm telling you, the feeling there was a feeling of, oh my goodness. This is something grander and greater than, again, there's a lot of solidarity and unity or whatever. But it's also the fact that there's a scene. The description I've given in the past is going to Chacham Vadia Yosef's class in Knis Yazdim on Saturday nights for me. It wasn't for the content. For me, it wasn't the content, it was for the production, it was for the room, it was for watching him and the respect that was given to him and seeing how people are there rallying around us. It was a scene, the walk for me through the streets of Yerushalayim on a Saturday night with the lights dimmed on. That was, for me, that was my mini Har Sinai. You're right, we need more of it. There's right. No question. There's no question. It needs to be established once upon a time. And for better or for worse, it was established in the classroom with the rabbis. So Musa, it's a shame he's not here. He would go off now. You know what he says about the rabbis in Damascus? He says, you know, the fear and the trepidation and the awe we had, the reverence we had for them, it was unparalleled. So maybe, I'm not saying you have to do it to the rabbis. That's a little self.
You knew people that, like the they have that fear.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, says the Gemara further in source number 15, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, another favorite of mine for other reasons. The Gemara describes how in between or at every dibur at Har Sinai, yaseta nishmatan. It's a derasha, nafshi yasea bedabero, pasuk in Shir HaShirim. As God says, or as we hear something for each of those dibirot, our heart, our life flutters away. Says the Gemara, how'd we hear the next one if we were dead? The answer is, tahiyata metim. So there was death and life and death and life and death and life. What's that all about? More than anything, it's about fear, about awe, about reverence. It's a moment in which we might not even be hearing. We're just being overwhelmed by the intensity of the moment at Ma'amad Har Sinai. I love this Gemara because the Gemara then says that there was a beautiful smell at that time, and many connect the two to one another. They say that the smell is what revived them, which of course we know from the ability to smell, which gives us that source of life. Anyway, the Gemara says furthermore, Ve'amar Yoshua ben Levi, the fourth line over here, called Dibur v'dibur she'yasam pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only did we die, so to speak, at each word in the eyes of the rabbi, Hazru Yisrael Ahorehen Shneim Asar Mil. We also, quite literally, I mean, I don't know, literal in terms of the number, but 12 mil. Jolted backward. I mean, we were running for our life in the moment of Har Sinai. We weren't rushing forward as God described we perhaps would be. We were running backward. Nefesh HaHayim later on, Sha'ar Dalet, Perek Yod Dalet, and we'll get there and we'll discuss it at the time. He portrays for us the moments of Talmud Torah as embodying, as returning to Ma'amad Har Sinai. So again, it's important in this context, as we're talking about Yirat Hashem, to understand every Talmud Torah needs to be like Ma'amad Har Sinai, which means Talmud Torah begins with the appropriate mindset of Yirat Hashem. We'll conclude with one last statement over here, and we'll go further next time, conclude the Perek, conclude the sources that supplement it, but just because I want to just leave you with two things. Firstly, this last source, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, which several of us already learned together in Tafchaf Amud Aleph, it's being Doresh Pasukin, would you know it, Mishle, the Perek of Eshet Hayil. Of course, the Torah is our Eshet Hayil to a large extent, or our relationship is that bond in such a fashion of a lust, a passion, an intensity, a bond to a significant other. And the Derasha Eshek, and there's a hierarchy. It starts with Sheker Achen, one generation, Hevel HaYofi, another generation, and the highest of the highest, Isha Yirat Adonai Hiti Talal. And it doesn't matter, the Gemara has different generations that it plugs into it. Maybe Hizkiah is the top generation above and beyond Moshe and Yehoshua's generation. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai's generation. Regardless of who it is, do you follow what the greatness of capacity of Talmud Torah, not of Menschlichkeit, not of good, being good people. Talmud Torah is Isha Yirat Adonai Hititalel. It's the Yirat Hashem. It means as we prepare ourselves for appropriate engagement in Torah and Chibur to Ahava, it means you start with the right amount of Yirat Hashem. You see, the question, and we to a large extent already addressed it, but we'll have to sharpen it further, is how do you balance these two? So it's true, you start with Yirat Hashem, and then you segue into Ahava. What is it after the initial jolt backward that Yirah does for me, that it sustains for me in this relationship? How do you sustain it, and what's the significance of that sustaining reality of Yirah in a relationship with Torah? So that's what I'd like to discuss as we go along. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.